can see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Hour number two here on this terrific Thursday, April 9th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, presented recommendations amid a sea of camouflage for the 2027 deer hunting regulations to the Natural Resources Commission yesterday. Among the proposals is setting a limit of one buck per season. The meeting was packed with hunters who are looking to see what would be proposed for the upcoming deer regulations. More than 4 hours of public comment dominated the commission's meeting, with the majority of the commenters supporting the one buck rule. DNR Deer Program Supervisor Chad Stewart said, "The one buck proposal is for all hunters in the state of Michigan. What essentially that would do is give everybody the hunts, that hunts in the lower peninsula, an antlerless tag in their pocket when they go out." Stewart said, while any antler point restrictions are going to remain the same in the areas of the Upper Peninsula, the number of doe that would be able to be harvested would depend on where the person was hunting. As far as the Lower Peninsula is concerned, a combination deer hunting license will be good for one buck and one doe, or two does. He said in the Upper Peninsula, the one buck would only be offered with a single tag hunting license because the deer herd has been taking a beating. Other recommendations, including a change to the muzzleloader season, moving it to just a 3-day hunt instead of the current 10-day hunt. Stewart said the commissioners would bring up amendments to the deer hunting regulations, which would then have to go before the Natural Resources Commission for a vote. I'm not really sure how the commission is going to vote on this, but we will find out in May. Several amendments were made at the end of the meeting, including finishing all deer seasons by January 1st, and again, all of them adopting the one buck rule. Commissioner John Walters said following the meeting, "I think having the respect of all sides has been wonderful. There's been no shouting, no yelling, and no screaming. It was a very respectful and very productive meeting. I know for a fact that we're going to make a lot of people really happy with these new regulations, and we may make a lot of people really angry with these regulations. If you got people on both sides for and against, I guess it could be the best compromise." Bottom line, he said the intent of the one buck rule was to manage the Michigan deer herd. Our intent is not to make people happy or to make them mad. So that's the direction DNR is recommending to the Natural Resources Commission. Short break. We'll be right back.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm, except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Quick moving show today. Lots of quick, short stories, things happening in Lansing. School districts asking the appeals court to rule privilege waiver unconstitutional. Scott Eldridge, who represents the Macomb County Intermediate School District, as well as other plaintiffs, told the Michigan Court of Appeals panel that a rule favoring the school districts would not limit the legislature's power, but would require lawmakers to redo Public Act 15 of 2025, something they did last year, which was part of the fiscal year 2026 education budget. The language, the attorney said, is problematic. Requiring school districts to waive their rights in the event of a mass casualty event violates the state's constitution. Eldridge, the attorney, said rushed legislation often results in bad legislation. And in this case, the legislation resulted in unconstitutionality. The legislature needs to reset and redo this statute if they want to, in a way that complies and stays within the confines of our state constitution. Well, Assistant Attorney General Adam DeBere countered the waiver is clear and that it's necessary to ensure transparency and accountability in the event of a mass casualty event. Judges Daniel Korbinkin, Adrian Young, and Miriam Bazzi could issue an opinion, which DeBere asked to be published, meaning their decision would create a binding legal precedent for the lower courts to follow. Andrew Jurgensen, who represented the Michigan Department of Education and its superintendent, said that on March 20th, the department dispersed the relevant funds to school districts that opted in. However, nearly three dozen Michigan school districts and their superintendents filed a lawsuit in both the Court of Claims and federal court, challenging the requirement that schools have to waive their legal privileges, such as attorney-client confidentiality, or face sacrificing their funding. In December, Court of Claims Judge Saima Patel, who sits on the appeals court bench, held that Section 31AA9 of the state's School Aid Act is coercive, but it does not coerce the relinquishment of a constitutional right in exchange for public funding. Well, the attorney Young questioned Eldridge about the specific language in the statute that he believes needs to be struck. He replied that it's the phrase his clients must affirmatively agree to waive any privileges that may otherwise protect information from disclosure. Young said it's very simple. Just remove the words waive any privileges. The statute, he noted, is also problematic because it does not provide triggers in the event of a comprehensive investigation. The attorney went on to say, my clients, the plaintiffs in this case, aren't concerned about subject to a comprehensive investigation. They're just upset about having to be forced to waive any privilege, whatever that means in any context. Well, the Assistant Attorney General DeBeer countered that the waiver applies only to public school districts and intermediate school districts, not to individual school officials. Eldridge, though, questioned Judge Patel's opinion, arguing that it relies on a hypothetical example to justify the constitutionality of the statute. He offered his own hypothetical situation to the Attorney General Assistant's argument, asking very simply, when one attorney represents both the school district and the superintendent, which often happens, and the superintendent can't invoke privilege when the school district has waived it. Well, guess what? It's a very interesting argument. Eldridge then asks a question. Does the superintendent then end up committing a crime because he fails to assist in an investigation of which the school district has already waived privilege? Plaintiffs filed the federal lawsuit back in November. It's going to be very interesting to see where the appellate court goes. But 177 school districts are asking the legislature to simply remove the privilege waiver from the funding. Case was filed November 21st, 2025, and now is in front of the appellate court. Kind of an interesting scenario. Well, one of the things I think that's happening here in Lansing before the legislature comes back to session this coming Tuesday to start working on the budget. It's going to be an interesting next couple of months because the governor has requested the budget be turned in before June 30th. So we'll see where this goes. Let's see. Where is that other story? Oh, there it is. Natural Resources Commission heard a presentation from Consumers Energy and Confluence Hydro for defending why the sale of 13 hydroelectric dams in Michigan should not be opposed before unanimously passing a resolution to oppose the sale. Commissioner Brandon Fewins questioned members of both Consumers Energy and Confluence Hydro after they appeared before the commission to argue that selling the 13 hydroelectric dams was the best option. Consumers Energy has threatened to decommission the dams if they can't sell them. The next most affordable option is decommissioning if the plan A doesn't get approved, said Consumers Energy spokesperson Brian Wheeler. Fewins and the commission last month took up the torch to oppose the sale, stating that they didn't see any reason that Confluence Hydro, a wholly owned subsidiary of a private equity firm, Hull Street Energy, would not be in a position to part out and sell the dams or even abandon the LLC when the operation licenses became too much of a financial burden. Fewins yesterday asked members of Confluence Hydro about funding figures that would put the operations of the 13 dams at roughly $13 million to operate, with only a $13.3 million profit. This accounting doesn't include any expected upgrades that would need to be done in order to be relicensed through 2034. Currently, the license is set to expire at the end of this year. For example, Commissioner Fewins pointed to Bruce Hydro in the 2020 Midland flooding warning as to what could happen if Confluence Hydro didn't take the time or funding to do what was necessary to maintaining the dams. Well, Jillian Lawrence, the chief operating officer of Confluence Hydro, said the company has the tools and experience needed to take control of the dams and operate them safely. Our plan is to have them relicensed. However, we need to invest money that would put us past the license current expiration date. Additionally, we'd like to make improvements that would provide the dams to go well past 2070. However, if future plans to decommission them depends on the sale of the dams, we then have to take a hard look at the economics and the regulatory factors. Lawrence said she understands that the NRC has a voice in the process of the sale before it goes to the Michigan Public Service Commission, and appreciated the opportunity to make their case before the commission. When asked what roadblocks the commission's oppositions put in front of the company, she said she couldn't give an opinion on that honestly. But she knew that Consumers Energy had a great relationship with the DNR. We had a great conversation with the director this morning, and our hope is for continuity when it comes to these good partnerships. We understand that many people have some concerns. We hope that we're able to address these concerns and be able to go forward in a positive direction. Well, the commission took a vote at the end of the day after the concerns were voiced in the resolution. Resolution states that the Natural Resources Commission's duty is to protect public safety and natural resources that exist downstream. We have to protect for the dam's safeties and make sure the company provides any upgrades as required. If we give up our state control, this could fall into federal authorities' oversight, which proves in the past to be very laxed, causing damage like the experience down in the Midland area. On the hour news break, hour number two, we'll be right back.
Is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news provider, delivering real, honest news to Michiganders statewide.
Good morning for Michigan News Source. I'm David Barr. Governor Gretchen Whitmer joined youth advocates and content creators for a discussion focused on tech accountability and online safety for children Tuesday. The summit came as Michigan lawmakers took up legislation aimed at protecting children online. The legislation would limit addictive algorithm-driven feeds for minors. It would also strengthen privacy settings for children online and restrict access to dangerous AI chatbot platforms. A Bahamian rescue group has identified an American woman lost at sea and her husband, who reported her missing as a couple from southeast Michigan. Katie Hyde reports.
Authorities say 55-year-old Lynette Hooker and Brian Hooker, 58, are from Onstead in Lenawee County. Hopetown Volunteer Fire and Rescue said the couple left an inn on Saturday night.